Thank y'all so much. I love that song. I love it when they sing it. It's such a blessing to me. If you would this evening, go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. Going to Jeremiah chapter 32 for our starting point in the message this evening. I have a twofold purpose with this message in presenting this message, which is, are believers saved forever? That's the subject I want to deal with. Are believers saved forever? And I do have a twofold purpose. Number one, I want to give from the Word of God some needed encouragement to believers who are weak and who maybe struggle with assurance. I'm thankful that there are men in the Scriptures who were very confident of their relationship with God. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I'm thankful for that assurance that God gave him. And many other words in the Scriptures of men who were very confident of their safety in Christ Jesus. But all along the way, there have been many people of God who have a struggle with this. I love the writings of John Newton. We, of course, sing his song, Amazing Grace. What an excellent hymn that is. But actually, Brother Newton, he struggled with this. The same man who wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me, he also wrote this, 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or not? Am I his or am I not? He struggled with that. I've got a suspicion that he's not the only one either. There, some of the other people of God have some difficulty, and you wonder, am I saved forever? Well, I'll tell you what, if God saved you, you are. Because Scripture says salvation is of the Lord, and what he has begun, he will finish. So I do want to encourage believers who have a little difficulty struggling with assurance. Where can I find assurance, preacher? Only from the Word of God. There is no real evidence that you can give to anybody, especially to yourself, that you belong to God, except you know whether you believe Him or not. And that's an invisible thing. I know others see the fruit that we bear, and they see us love the brethren, some indication we care about the things of God by our attendance in the house of worship. But only you know in your heart if you believe this one who the Scripture says is altogether lovely. That's all. And any assurance that you've got has got to come from the Word of God that says, he that hath the Son hath life. So I want to help you if you're maybe having a difficult time struggling with that. But there's a second reason that I want to address this subject, are believers saved forever, is because among many people in religion, there's always been a controversy that has raged, and it is over this. Are believers saved forever, or is it possible that the salvation of God once given can be lost? I actually think that's not a good way to maybe even set forth the error of many people. I think a better way of saying this would be, can a believer, can one saved by grace, is it possible for them to leave salvation, not lose it, but leave it? Is it possible to leave the Son of God? Is it possible to leave the gospel of His grace by which you profess that you have been saved? And I'll tell you what, of course, this sort of goes along with what I preached last Sunday night, but I'd read something came. I get all kinds of religious stuff. Most of it's junk in the mail, and a good bit of it is email, and it's deleted real quick. But I got something in, and it was about this preacher who's in Pentecostalism. And I don't know why I stopped to read it. Usually I don't stop to read those things. But here's what caught my eye. He said it is very possible for a believer to leave our God and forsake the gospel. And he said this. He said, I even believe that when we get to heaven, I believe it's going to be possible to leave our God in heaven, and God's going to kick you out of heaven. Well, that is absolutely foolishness. But here's what he based it on. He said, Adam and Eve, in a garden of perfection, in a perfect environment, they did indeed leave the Lord, and they left the garden. Well, I would say this, they did leave the Lord, but he kicked them out of the garden. They didn't go on their own. And he said, therefore, I believe there are people who go to heaven who of their own volition will leave the Lord, and therefore heaven will not be their home any longer. And I finally did delete that email. But I got to thinking about that. This is such a twisted religious environment that we're in, that there's so much junk, there's so much error, especially on this subject of salvation, that I felt very compelled to just deal with this. What about this subject? Are believers saved forever? Or will we, is it possible for us to leave this glorious gospel and forsake it and turn our backs on God and go our own way? This man in this email, he said, now among the Calvinists, he said, now they believe in once saved, always saved, because they believe God does the saving and God does the keeping. Well, I'm not particularly fond of the word Calvinists because I'm not a follower of John Calvin, who, it's a good possibility, if he'd had his way, he'd have had people who believed in immersion burned at the stake. So I'm not, and I don't believe in sprinkling babies and things like that. So I'm certainly, I don't want to be labeled with Calvin himself, though much of what he believed, I do believe. Even though he did believe some error. But I do believe that if God saves you, you're saved forever. Now, how can you undo what God has done? And then he went on to say, however, if you believe, as he said, as the Bible states, and he's way off base on this, he said, if you believe that salvation is ultimately by man's free will, then you willed to get into the kingdom of God, and by your will, you can get out of the kingdom of God. Well, the only thing I would say is he's consistent. He's consistent in his error. In his error. But his premise is all wrong. We've got to go back to the foundation of this. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. The psalmist said, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. So, our believers saved forever. Let's just go right to the heart of the issue. Let me give you several reasons why I can say with absolute assurance believers are saved forever. If you believe, you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your only hope of glory. You have no confidence in the flesh, have no confidence in your works. You see that you're still evil within you. You see that in your flesh dwells no good thing. And you believe if saved, you're saved by grace. Since you're saved by grace and grace alone. Well, I'll tell you, you're saved forever, and I'll give you several reasons. Number one, because the covenant of grace can never be nullified. And read with me here in Jeremiah 32, and I'll be brief on these, but I want to give them to you. The covenant of grace cannot be nullified. In other words, this covenant of grace cannot be made invalid. Jeremiah 32. God says in verse 38, they shall be my people. I will be their God. Jeremiah 32, 39. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. When he made it with Christ Jesus, he made it with all of his them. Amen. All of his people. Because we were in Christ Jesus. That covenant that was made with the Savior, the Son of God, we were in him, it was made with us. Watch it. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Now, what is obvious is this everlasting covenant made with us. Here's what's obvious. We weren't there. We weren't there in person, but we were there in our representative. We weren't there individually, as it were, in reality, physically, but we were there in our surety, in our representative, in our Savior. We were there. We were one with him. Amen. So God said, I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. Now that's what God says he won't do. I'm not going to turn away from them. And watch this. But I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. I'm not going to leave them, and I'm not going to let them leave me. That's good assurance, isn't it? See, this is salvation based only upon the Lord. Oh, how I love the everlasting covenant of grace. Now, if I understand the scriptures correctly, and I do on this, Here are the two major covenants, the covenant of works made with Adam, later kind of reinforced or repeated with Israel at Mount Sinai. The covenant of works, which consists basically of this: this do and live, disobey and die. Well, that's a covenant we can't keep. There's nobody can keep it. That's impossible. Because perfection with us is out of the question. We drink iniquity like water. We're full of sin. In my flesh, this is what an inspired apostle said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, covenant of works, not interested in that. If you want to be under bondage, you go ahead and have at it. But I promise you this, you'll perish in your sins. Thy work alone, O God. Not my works, thy work. Not my merit, but thy mercy. That's what we need, the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The covenant of works is a covenant that is impossible to give salvation to anybody. Because the responsibility for keeping that covenant is upon God and man. Now, on God's part, He'll keep His part. I'm sure of that. There's no question about that. But we can't keep the covenant. We can't keep God's law. So we're thankful that there's a new covenant, newly revealed, but it's actually the oldest covenant there is. It's the everlasting covenant of grace, in which the Lord says, like in Genesis chapter 17, He said this to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. He said, to thy seed, not seeds, but seed as in one, Christ Jesus. This is the covenant I'm interested in, a legal binding agreement between the Godhead, wherein God purposed salvation, God promised salvation, and God Himself, He pledged to come down here and do everything that's necessary to satisfy a holy God. And the Spirit of God said, I'll quicken these people, I'll teach them the gospel, I'll abide with them forever. That's the covenant of grace. There are many lesser covenants in the Bible. The Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the covenant with Noah. But all of those are like bits and pieces of the covenant of grace. The everlasting covenant. And that can never be nullified because it's a covenant God made. You see, my salvation, your salvation, it did not originate with us, it originated with God. And He who began it will finish it to the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? It's not dependent upon us? Well, I hope I hold out to the end. Well, I wouldn't have any confidence in yourself if I was you. I tell you, there's enough sin in each one of us. Let's just put it this way. There's enough sin in this preacher to make another devil if God was pleased to do it. What kind of man are you? I'm a man just like you. Oh, we have evil within us. There is a portion of us, my flesh has no use for the things of God. It's not getting better. So that's the reason this people say, well, I believe in progressive sanctification. I'm getting better and better. I don't know anything about that. And the Bible doesn't know anything about that. Because really, our growth in grace, according to 2 Peter 3, our growth in grace is a growth in the knowledge of the fact how much we need grace. Amen. And the more light God gives us, the worse we look to ourselves. Don't you find that to be true? Surely I'm not by myself. Because you're just like I am and I'm just like you are. And if you think you're growing in personal holiness, you're deceived. And you're under legal bondage. And I hope God does something about that deception before you leave this world. You see, it is true, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Our Lord Jesus, He's our holiness. How righteous have you got to be accepted in God's sight? Got to be as righteous as God is. Well, I don't think I can produce that, Jim. Well, you can't. Well, where am I going to get this righteousness that God demands? My righteousness is seated at the right hand of God. He's the Lord, my righteousness, and His righteousness is imputed to everybody who believes Him. Do you believe Him? It's imputed to you. Not because you believed, but because He purposed for that righteousness to come to you, and it will become a realization to you through faith. I tell you, the covenant of grace, it can't be nullified. This is a legal binding agreement, fully dependent upon God. That's why we read in Hebrews 13, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." That's a legal and binding agreement. And it totally concerns what God will do, what God has promised to do, and it's not dependent upon us. If your salvation to any degree is dependent upon you, but turn that salvation in, because it's not going to do you any good. That which is dependent upon you will fail. Amen. I promise you, it'll fail. Only that which is built upon Jesus Christ and His righteousness alone will stand the test of time. I'll tell you something else. Are believers saved forever? The covenant of grace shows that they are. Number two, are believers saved forever? Yes, because the blood of Christ could not have been shed in vain. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The death of the Savior was not a shot in the dark. It's not that He died hoping and wishing and wanting sinners to make His blood effectual to the putting away of their sins. That death's not in any way dependent upon you. It's not even offered to you. Have you received the blood shed as if Christ offers it to you? That's not true. Never was offered to you. The blood of the Passover, back in Exodus chapter 12, was it offered to anybody? Was it offered to Pharaoh? No. Was it offered to the Egyptians? No. Was it offered to the Israelite family who lived next door? No. Where'd you put the blood? Outside on the doorposts and over the top of the door. Why'd you do that? Because God said, when I see the blood, that blood's for God. The blood's for God. Look here in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Ephesians 5:26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, and he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." I tell you, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't in vain. Understand this. And you folks do, you who've been listening to me, and before that listening to Bill, and before that listening to Henry, and listening to Alan, this matter of salvation, it is a matter of grace, and it is also a matter of justice. Isn't that right? It's justice and grace working together. There will be no salvation for anybody until God's perfect justice demands are met. Death for sin. Death for sin. The Savior came and laid down his life. He died. See, there's the law of God that has to be satisfied. And this, you don't hear this in modern day preaching. They don't know anything about the justice of God. They don't care anything about the justice of God. You want to miss hell? Just believe on Jesus. Exercise your free will and let him come into your heart. You won't have to go to hell when you die. Well, what about the justice of God? Well, they don't know anything about that. I'll tell you, that's a big matter. God's justice, his offended law. Somebody's going to have to do something about that. And you can walk every aisle of every church in Boyd County, Kentucky. It ain't going to do you any good. That's not what puts sins away. And I would ask you this. Those that are watching by way of the internet ask the same question. Did the death of Jesus, the Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, did his death actually put sin away? Well, the Bible says it did. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Does that mean what it says? Well, did he really put away sin? Well, yeah, he put it away if you'll believe it. No, that's not what it says. He put somebody's sins away. Back behind God's back, in the depths of the deepest sea, he put somebody's sins away to such a degree that God remembers them no more. Amen. That's called an effectual redemption. That's a particular redemption. It's a successful redemption. His blood's not shed in vain. See, that's the reason I know believers are saved forever, because Christ died for our sins. And twice payment God won't demand. First in my bleeding surety's hand and then again at mine. Can't be. Can't be. I'll tell you something else. Thirdly, the seal of the Spirit of God can't be broken. Turn back a page or two to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed by the Spirit. Preserved. You see, the seal of the covenant of grace is the Spirit of God. He sealed. The seal is not circumcision. The seal is not baptism. The seal isn't your faith. Spirit of God's the seal. He's the one who preserves us. You know why believers won't spoil? You know why believers won't go bad? Because of who the seal is. It's the Spirit of God. And He hasn't merely sealed us. He is the seal. The seal is not something we do for ourselves. It's not something anybody else can do for us. The one who does the saving does the sealing. And then I'll tell you something else, number four. The power of God can't be defeated. You don't have to turn to this, but it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're kept by the power of God through faith. You know who keeps us believing? The Lord does. Well, who gave us faith to begin with? Did that originate with you? Did you just muster up faith? Does everybody have a little faith in them? All that's got to happen is a little wind come along and blow that little tiny flame up, and then boom, all of a sudden you got faith. No. All men don't have faith. Faith's a gift of God. Who gives the gift of believing? God does. Who keeps that gift? Who keeps you believing? Jim, I'm afraid my faith is so weak, I don't know if I'll keep on believing or not. If it's God-given faith, you'll keep believing. He'll see to it. He'll see to it. He said, I won't leave them, and He's going to make sure we don't leave Him. We're His children. We're kept by the power of God. The Savior said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, not a one, but raise it up in the last day. And I'll tell you something else. The promise of Christ can't be broken. He said, I give to my sheep eternal life. I preached on that last Sunday night. Do I believe in once in Christ, always in Christ? I most certainly do. Because I have been in Christ, and if you're in Christ, you've always been in Christ. Amen. See, here's where people make a mistake. They think when they believe the Lord Jesus Christ, they're suddenly put in Christ. They're suddenly joined to Him. No, the reason you believe is because you're joined to Him in everlasting covenant grace and love. That's the reason. Paul said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. I tell you, He who justified you will keep you justified forever. What is that? What does it mean to be justified? It means to be righteous. How long have I been justified before God? Ever since Christ Jesus became my head and my surety and my Savior. And that's been from old eternity. I mean, that never had a beginning. And here's another thing. The love of God shall never cease. But if I sin, God won't love me anymore, will He? Oh my. You sin more than you have any idea you sin. But the scripture says that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'll tell you what, if God manifested his love to you by sending his son even when you were a sinful, wretched creature, he's not going to abandon that love and reverse that love. His love will never cease. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And I'll tell you, the unchangeableness of God won't allow his chosen ones to perish. I'm the Lord, I change not. That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And we're sons of Jacob. The only reason we're not consumed, it's not because we don't change. Man, we change with the wind. It's because he doesn't change. He purposed from old eternity to be our God, and he purposed us to be his people. Nothing's going to change that.
Amen.
Not all the opposition of the forces of hell can change that. And I'll give you this. I'll tell you why we're not going to perish. I'll tell you why believers will be saved to the end. Because the prayer request of Christ Jesus cannot go unanswered. He said in John 16, he said, I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thine own that thou hast given me. Keep them safe. That's what he prayed. He prayed for you. He prayed for you. You a child of God, you believe, he prayed for you. Father, Holy Father, keep them. I tell you, his prayer requests are always answered. Always answered. Oh, we're safe. We're safe forever. And his will can't be disappointed. Let me give you one other passage. I want you to turn to Jude. Look at this. And I'll give you this point in closing. The will of Christ cannot be disappointed. Jude, the last two verses. 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You're not able to keep yourself from falling, but he's able. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Lord, can you keep me? Oh, your faith is weak. But you have weak faith in an almighty Savior. And he's able to keep you from falling. Oh, the ability of our Lord. And able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So are believers saved forever? Well, I hope I have laid out a pretty good case from the Word of God that we're absolutely saved forever. And be thankful, like I am. I'm so thankful that this matter of my salvation has never been, is not now, and never will be dependent upon me.
Amen.
I have a glorious Savior. He chose me. He redeemed me. He called me. He keeps me. He preserves me. and he'll perfect that which concerns me. I cast everything on him. He's able. Well, let's sing the closing song, shall we? And we'll go back to the black folder. Go to page 16.